Okay, so we've planned for the storms. We've learned to be calm in the storms. Now what? Well, I think oftentimes the purpose of the storms is we grow. And the recovery is growth. And so what does it look like to grow through the storms? Initially, I looked at this as growing after the storms, but that tends to make it sound like there's a time that the storms stop and then you can grow. Experience says that's probably not very likely. That storm may stop, but a different one shows up to take its place. And in this world, that's why Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. And there are seasons of life, I think, where the storms dissipate, that God knows that we need rest, that we... And so I've looked at it more as growing through the storms. What does that look like? How does God want us to grow? What does growth look like? It's been said that every living thing is either growing or it's dying. We're either increasing or we're decreasing. There's no static. There's no horizontal level. Our bodies are that way. And life, and I believe the same is true of our spiritual life. That if we're not feeding our spiritual life with the things of God, it begins to decay. And so as we recognize the urgency of prayer in the midst of all of this, we realize that planning for the storm, finding calm in the storm, requires that we've developed a lifestyle of prayer. It requires that we've developed a connection with God in all that we do. And the same is true if we want to grow through the storm. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, verses we don't like to hear a lot when they're applied to us. We're not too uncomfortable quoting them to someone else when they're struggling. But it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And then he goes down through a math problem, that this produces that and that produces this. And what you end up with is being mature and complete, not lacking anything. I believe that's the goal that God would have for us as we seek to grow through the storm. To become mature and complete. Now, granted, I don't believe that we ever reach that fully until we're face to face with Jesus. That's kind of the graduation ceremony, so to speak, that here's your diploma. You've finally matured and are fully complete. But just as in any educational system, there ought to be progress. In my era, we used to have to take home report cards to mom and dad that they would have to sign and send back. And now it seems like the favored term is progress reports. But they're the same thing. There's an understanding that you ought to be progressing in what you're learning. You ought to be progressing in how you're applying it. And if you're not progressing, then in the educational system, you fail. You get held back. You have to repeat until you learn the lesson. And sometimes I think if God would hand out written progress reports for us, that we would have to have our parents or our children or our spouses or somebody sign and send back to him, we'd be in trouble. And yet I believe through his Spirit, through his word, he consistently gives us these progress reports for our own good, so that we can see how we're growing and how we need to grow. I believe growth through the storms begins when we recognize what God has given us. And the growth is made evident when we give. And so many times we think, well, I'm in the middle of a storm. I don't have anything to give. I'm barely holding on. One of the common conversations with people in disaster recovery that I've helped with, when whole neighborhoods, whole cities have been flattened, is I was able to meet my neighbor. The fence is gone. I have neighbors. I was able to give to them, to help them clean up their yard, and they came and helped me clean up mine. Partly because we couldn't tell where one yard began and where the other ended. But even in the midst of their storm, they were able to give of themselves. And it's always my prayer that as I am able to serve in those ways, that perhaps the fences could stay down. I know of one set of neighbors who the fence was there for safety, and one of them had a pool and all of this. And they said, but when we rebuild it, we put a gate between us. We put a way to pass back and forth. The fence needed to be there for specific reasons, but we realized it had separated us too much. And so many times it requires a storm to get our attention to realize how isolated we really are. And when the storms come and no one responds, what does that do to our spirit? A couple years ago, or a year and a half, I've lost track of time, we had a tornado go kind of form over our house, just out of the blue, no warning. After it was gone, the tornado sirens went off and gave a warning. But particularly those familiar with the South, it's the one that destroyed the growing center child care just on the south side of South Bend. And it started right over our house. Our upstairs windows were open. One of them blew off to the north, and one of them blew off to the south. And as that tornado went overhead, and that was really the only damage we had. And a half a mile north of us, it completely destroyed this child care facility. And in the middle of that storm, not only did our neighbors kind of gather around and see what we could do for each other, at least one of the elders from Deer Run drove by to make sure we were okay, had other sent messages and calls and wanting to give presents. We know this was in your region, vicinity. We don't know at this point how affected or unaffected you are by it, but you're not alone in this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I've already referred to this. It talks about God being the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The storms give us opportunity to give. And we can grow through the storms when we learn giving as a way of life. My first opportunity this last summer with IDES was actually to Iowa. For lack of a better term, and they have a fancy word, derecho or something like that for it. But in essence, they experienced a hurricane in the middle of Midland U.S. 150-mile-an-hour winds sustained over a length of time. And IDES responded to clean up the disaster and help do that kind of thing. And COVID had kind of, well, for lack of a better word, destroyed all of my travel plans. The seminars and conferences I would normally be doing were all canceled. All of the things that I would go to represent Impact Prayer Ministry no longer were taking place. And I get this message that they're looking for volunteers to go to Iowa with chainsaws and to cut up trees out of people's homes and yards and everything else. And I was like, well, I haven't really gone anywhere. I guess this fits. I've got chainsaws. I'm comfortable with them. I know what I'm doing. And so I went. And I remember at the time, it was while I was in Iowa that Hurricane Laura, the first hurricane that went through Lake Charles, hit. And I told the group, I said, boy, I'm glad I came here. Because I don't like snakes and I don't like alligators and I don't want anything to do with what's happening down south. And sometimes we put those parameters in our life. So God, I'll do this because it's comfortable, but I won't give there because it's not comfortable. And 4 weeks later, God has prompted me and poked me and kicked me and everything else to where I found myself in Lake Charles. Now, the funny thing is, God knew my fears. There was a lady on the team that came down with her church from Pennsylvania. And one of the things she does for fun is she hunts snakes. And I thought, fine, you keep track of them and just make sure they're gone before I get on site. And it's like God had seen my need. I don't comprehend why she would do such a thing or why she would find it fun. But hey, God knew my fears and he says, I'll team you up with somebody that's got you covered. And when we learn to give based on God's calling, I believe he helps us to grow by surrounding us with people that, well, they make up for our weaknesses. We live in an American model mindset, even within American Christianity, that wants to convince us that we can do it on our own. We hear stories of, quote, self-made men. We think that we can do it. I don't need anyone. And when we learn to give, we learn that God has put us in a body where each part is valuable, where each part has a purpose. And so we grow when we learn to give, but we also grow when we learn to receive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, and he's talking about divisions that have come up, and he says, who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? And I believe the storms of life help us to realize more clearly than ever before what God has given us. It helps us sort through our priorities. It helps us to declutter our spiritual life, when we begin to take inventory of what's really important, and we discover that indeed everything that I have that has any value has come from God. And we grow when we are willing to receive. And I believe most of us struggle with one or two of, or one or the other of those, and many of us struggle with both. We struggle with giving, and we struggle with receiving. And many times, if we would learn to receive from God all that He has wanted to give us, our struggles with giving would kind of disappear. For most of us, our lack of giving revolves around fear of not having enough for ourselves. There are some that are just absolute selfish people, and they're not concerned at all about not having enough. They just don't want anybody else to have any. I mean, God calls it greed. It's a sin. But there are others that would not really be, I would not consider greedy. They're just afraid. And when we learn to accept what God has given, we find that we have more to give than we ever imagined. I always love when God talks about He who supplies seed to the sower, supplies it in a way that is meant to multiply, that it's meant to grow, that it's meant to increase. And so many times we look at the little, and instead of rejoicing in what God has given, we're that servant that buries it in the ground because we don't think it's enough to do anything with. And God has told us time and time again in Scripture that His principles are that the things that He gives are meant to increase. You know, I love the parable of the sower. You know, some that increases 20-fold or 40-fold or 80-fold or 100-fold. But it all increases as it's planted. Not as it's kept, not as it's stored. I grew up on a farm. And we would, in my era, we picked ear corn. It was, you know, we didn't have the combines that shelled it as you harvested it. It was all on the cob and stored in grain corn cribs, we called them. And the amazing thing, once you put it in there, it never increased. You didn't go out the next day, oh, there's more corn. What you harvested was, and what you stored, actually decreased. You go back the next year and there would be this much empty space at the top of the corn crib where it had settled. The mice and critters had come in around the bottom edges and helped themselves to what grain they could get. But simply storing it didn't do as much good as planting seed. You had this huge corn crib of corn and you stored it, and we fed it out to the livestock, and so that helped it decrease as well. But you could take a bag of seed, and by that fall, that bag of seed that was no bigger than this podium would have filled that entire corn crib if it was given, if it was planted, if it was allowed to do what it was created to do. And we grow through the storms when we give and when we receive, because that's what God has created us to do. We receive from Him and we give to one another. And a big part of what we receive from Him is things that He's put into the lives of others who are giving to us. And we grow through these storms as we learn these principles of giving and receiving. We grow through these storms as we learn to obey. When you think about storms and suffering, Hebrews chapter 5 is this fascinating verse. What makes it most fascinating is it's talking about Jesus. We would probably understand it if it was talking about any other biblical character. But when applied to Jesus, Hebrews 5 verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who would obey him. We grow through the storms when we learn to obey God no matter what. If I were to come in here and tell you to do something that you enjoy doing, that you want to do, that is easy, that you find pleasure in, you would probably be pretty quick to obey me. You know, if I would have stuck $100 bills across the back wall and say, you know, if you would simply get up and go back there, you could take one. And that would be something easy to obey. Well, unless pride happened to creep in and we said, well, I'm not going to take it. I mean, there's reasons, but if I were to come in and say, I've put across the back wall a list of needs of people in your community, that God is looking for somebody that could help. You probably would think twice about how quickly you'd get up. And even when you did, you would kind of look through them and see, is this one I want to do or not? Is there one that I would rather do? Is this going to be easy or is this complicated? And I've discovered, at least in my life, I learned the greatest lessons when the task is most difficult. And we grow through the storms when we learn obedience in our sufferings. We learn to obey God even when it's difficult. It's easy to represent Jesus, to speak truth, when we know the people that are around us. For most churches in America, even though there are many that have chosen, I believe, not to preach the truth of God's word, but if they choose to, it's easy to do. It's not like those that come to church are going to object to you preaching God's word. If they do, they simply go somewhere else that doesn't. But sharing God's word in the workplace, in the recreation places that we go to enjoy, in the public marketplace that we might call social media. It's easy to share the funny memes that really have no meaning, that mock somebody or make people laugh or are just simple and cute. But God's word, truth. You see, when God says that we are to go and make disciples, or as we go, we're to make disciples, he's expecting us to make disciples. He's expecting obedience. You see, he says, if you love me, you'll have a great life. No. He says, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. And we grow through the storms of life when we learn obedience through the sufferings that we endure. Again, that's the book of Job. Even his wife says, curse God and die and get this over with. You know, he thought his friends were bad advisors. And here's Job, growing in obedience through suffering. And then we come to this verse in Hebrews where we see that Jesus himself learned obedience through his sufferings. And our goal as followers of Jesus ought to be to become more and more like him every day. And our storms help us to grow as we learn obedience. Finally, we grow through the storms, not only as we give, not only as we receive, not only as we obey, but we grow through the storms as we learn to worship. First Thessalonians says to give thanks when we want to, when it's convenient, when we're happy. And now, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Says, to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When we live through the storms, when we plan for the storms, when we find calm in the storms, we ought to worship God through the storms. We ought to give thanks. We ought to pray continually. We ought to lift Him up. When we present ourselves to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to people around us as having it all together, of having a perfect life, of having no problems, they look at us and they say, well, I can't relate to that. But when they see us living through the storms and continuing to worship God, I believe it's Peter that writes, he says, to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Mm-hmm. Now, when he says to always be ready to give an answer, what does that kind of allude to? Somebody's asking a question. I mean, I suppose there are people, and we may know some, that go around giving answers when they're not wanted, but for the most part, if God says to be ready to give an answer, He knows somebody's going to ask about the reason for the hope that lies within you. Why are they asking? Because you have a perfect life? Because you've avoided all the storms in life? No. Because somehow they see there's a hope in you that no one else has. No one they've seen. And they see that when you're genuine. And in your act of being genuine, you worship God. The text of scripture that says, we hear it a lot. It's used often at funerals. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And sometimes I think there's biblical texts that we use in certain situations because they're used in certain situations, we're afraid to use them anytime else. You know, the 23rd Psalm is another one that we often, it's a funeral psalm. Well, it's more than that. And to recognize that we are able to worship God through the storms, in the storms, after the storms, before the storms. We represent Jesus in a way that not only helps us to grow, but it helps others to at least know there's hope. We want instant results. If I'm ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within me, then, well, I give that answer. I ought to be able to baptize that person today yet. And I've told them what they need to know. I've shared about the hope. Why are they not responding? And then we kind of lose track of God's timing being so much different than ours. When he talks about some plant the seed, some water. Some have gone ahead of time and even prepared the soil before the seed was ever planted. But it's God that gives the increase. Growing through the storms is about us changing so that the people living in darkness can see a great light. It's always one of those that I found fascinating. At one point in Scripture, Jesus proclaims that he is the light of the world. And we get that. We believe that. We know that. We proclaim that. But then there's another time where he's talking to his followers and he says, "You are the light of the world." Wait a minute. I'm okay, Jesus, with you being the light of the world, but me? I know myself a little too well. What if my neighbors know me a little too well? One of the things that often keeps people from pursuing a relationship with Jesus, they don't believe that Jesus would want a relationship with them. And when we grow through the storms alongside our neighbors, alongside our co-workers, alongside our friends and family members, we worship God in a way that says, "God has changed me. And anything that I've prepared for, all of the planning that I did, all of the calm that I have has come from him." Amen. Today, as we prepare to wrap up this morning seminar, when I first began to think about it, and I'm so thankful for Tony and for Nate and Brandon working together to host these that we've been having. And last year we had had one planned for the middle of March, if I remember correctly, right about that time when everything kind of came to a grinding halt. And we kept rescheduling it and eventually did have it last fall. And then we started looking ahead to what's the next one going to look like. And it was, I'm not hiding the fact that it was COVID that kind of was the basis for even thinking about the storms of life. It has created storms that we never expected, never anticipated. And some of our responses have been good, some of our responses have not been. As individuals, as Christians, as church bodies, as whatever, as government, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's all, I thought, what would it look like if we prepared for the storms? We don't know what the next one will be. There's always storms, and what the next major one will be. But what would it look like if we were more prepared? If we had a plan to turn to God so that we could sleep soundly, knowing that we're prepared? What would it look like if we were prepared enough to be calm, to make good and wise and godly decisions when the storm hits? That's often the first casualty of a storm. It seems to be wisdom. We act out of reaction rather than action, out of emotion rather than logic. What would happen if we were prepared to be calm? And what would happen if we entered that storm knowing that God wanted us to grow? I think of the great storms that Joseph lived through. I mean, we think of things that I've lived through, and I've not had my brothers officially try to kill me. Some of our squabbles as children and teenagers, you might wonder whether we were trying to kill each other or not, but I don't think we were. I've not had them sell me. They may have wanted to, but they haven't done that. I've not been sold into slavery. I've not had my master or my bosses accuse me of a crime that lands me in prison. I've not had my cellmates in prison abandon me and forget me when they promised to speak well of me. And yet here's Joseph. Storm after storm after storm. And when God finally says it's time to slowly reveal what the growth process is all about, and God lifts Joseph to being second in command in all of Egypt, and then his brothers show up, the ones that started all of these storms. And I tell you, my mind has that story ending in a very different way. And now's my chance. But not Joseph. He had planned. He was calm. And he grew. And when that moment came, he was clear. What you meant for harm, God has used for good, for the saving not only of our family, but of the entire people of Israel, as they were just beginning to be known as a people. He was honest. Your motives were wrong. What you did was wrong. He didn't sugarcoat the cause of the storms. But he had grown to know that God can use the storms of our life for the salvation of many. And I believe he's calling every one of us to consider the storms that we face, whether it's the COVID stuff or whether it's other stuff, or whether it's a combination of all of it. And not ask so much as, how do I get through it? But to ask, God, who do you want me to lead to you through it? How can you use this storm for the saving of many? Many people ask and they squabble and they wonder. I would do God's will if only I knew what it was. One thing I can guarantee you, because God says it, God's will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're one that says you will do God's will, if only you knew what it was, be prepared for the storms and allow God to use them to save the lives of many. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God that has called us to yourself. You have saved us from the sin that has separated us from you over our life. And Father, even in the midst of the storms we don't like, the storms we don't want, the storms that we complain about, may we have a new appreciation for what you can do. Father, as we plan, may we recognize the urgency of prayer. Not as a last resort. It's not urgent because it's the only thing left. It's urgent because it's the only thing that matters. And may we put that into our life and practice that well before the storms come, as part of that preparation. And Father, in the midst of the storms, as we seek to be calm, that we recognize the urgency of prayer there. Not again because it's the only thing left, but because it's the only thing that's important in bringing calm and peace to our life, because it's our relationship and our conversation with you. And Father, as we live with that calm that only you can bring, may we learn to grow. And may the urgency of prayer be real in our growth process. Again, it's not the only thing, it's not the last thing, but it's the important thing. And Father, as we live with this urgency of prayer, may we understand in a greater way than ever before that your desire for us, your desire for all mankind, is that we would come to you, that we would repent, that we would allow Jesus to transform us. And so, Father, as we leave this place today, may we be more prepared than ever before to represent Jesus in the midst of all storms. And as we lift him up, may he draw many to himself. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. And again, I appreciate the Buchanan Christian Church and the work.